today on Jeff's Podcast.
It's been said that the greatest battle that you and I will ever fight takes place in the 8 inches between our ears. It's the battle of the mind. Did you know that 284 million people around the globe suffer with anxiety? 264 million people suffer with depression. But depression is the number one cause of disability in the United States in individuals between the ages of 25 and 44. Think about that. Emotional pain, intangible pain, pain that you can't point to where it hurts, pain that you can't explain to many people. But this is a huge problem. And I believe that one of the greatest ways to come against this pain is to not only to go to the Lord in prayer, but to change the way you think. It's important that you capture your thoughts, that you not allow the enemy to run away with your mind, and that you saturate your mind with the Word of God. It is proven that the Word of God gives you the ability to change the way you think. Believe it or not, this is one of the biggest themes of the Apostle Paul, beyond the fact that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. The Apostle Paul, in his epistles to the Romans, to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, throughout all of these letters, Paul has a central theme that he drives home, and that is to be careful what you think. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes today. I want to talk to you about what's on your mind. I believe that over the last year or so, in the rise of this pandemic, that depression and anxiety has become more of a problem. It's been even more exacerbated than it's ever been before. In fact, in this past year, in 2020 specifically, antidepressants were on track to overcome opioids as the single, as the second most prescribed type of drug in the United States. In fact, it is an opioids is an $18 billion industry in 2020. Antidepressants were expected to be a $26+ million industry. This is a huge problem. A lot of people are trying to cope with emotional pain, intangible pain such as stress, anxiety, depression, disappointment, and all of those things. And I want you to know that you can be healed, that you can win this battle of the mind. I don't have any type of a monopoly on this subject. Some of the greatest Christian speakers in all the world have written books about this, but I want to share this pattern in the Pauline epistles with you. The way that Paul goes through these letters, and to every church he speaks to, he gives them this exhortation to be careful what's on your mind. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, this is the New Living Translation that I'm using today. He says, all Scripture is inspired by God. We know that, right? We believe that with all of our hearts as people of God. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So Paul says to Timothy that the word is powerful. It is an inspired word of God, and it is the standard of truth. Well, anxiety, depression, and other intangible pain is nothing more than believing lies or believing those things that are embellished. Our brains have a tendency to embellish our pain, to embellish what's wrong, and to get us to look at life through the lens or the perspective of negativity. And so this word of Paul to Timothy about the inerrant word of God being the standard of truth is important, because when you need to come against the spirits of anxiety and depression and other intangible pain in your mind, you have to be able to counter it with truth. And you do that with the word of God. Now listen to what Paul says to the Roman church, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world." Think about this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God transform you. The King James says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I like this version because of how it words it. Let God transform the way you think. Are you one of those persons that you have a tendency to always go negative right off the bat? I'll make a confession to you that I have often been that kind of person. It seems that my brain always wants to go negative, to think the worst, to prepare for the worst, and always look for the cloud and the silver lining. It's just something that I've struggled with, and I've had to actively battle that and take authority over that in my life. And I am always seeking the Word of God and the face of God to renew my mind and allow the Lord to change the way I think. And I'll be honest with you, it takes prayer and the Word of God to change how you think, so that when something happens, your reaction to it is not automatically negative. It's a tough battle, but you can't overcome it, because the Scripture has the power to change the way you think. Listen to what he says to the Philippians. This pattern just keeps going. Paul talking about what's on your mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he said, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." Here it is. "Fix your thoughts on what is true." Fix your thoughts on what is true, not the lies of the enemy, not the lies that your brain tends to want to go straight for. "Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable." Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Paul is talking about, be careful what's on your mind. He says it to Timothy. He says it to the Romans. He says it to the Philippians. And he continues with his letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, he said, "Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes." Let the Spirit renew your thoughts, what's on your mind. Don't allow the enemy tell you a lie and then believe that lie and dwell on that lie and contemplate that lie, but let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. It's a daily thing. Every day you ought to get up praying, "Lord, today I pray that you will do for me what Paul told the Ephesians, that you will renew my mind with your word, that you will renew my thoughts and renew my attitudes. Let me not go forward with a bad attitude," or not even necessarily a bad attitude. I'm not implying that negative thoughts give you a bad attitude, but simply a negative attitude. "Lord, help me every single day when I get up out of bed and breathe in the new breath of the Holy Spirit. I've been given new grace today. Early I will rise and praise you, and let me go forth into this day having my thoughts and my behaviors renewed by the Spirit of the Lord." He continues with his message to the Colossians. Now, you see how I've kind of drawn this connect the dots line between all of these letters of Paul. I never saw this before until I started connecting dots. I knew that he had talked about it a lot, but I didn't realize that almost every church he wrote to, he cautioned them to be careful what's on their mind. Listen to his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 2. He said, "Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth." Again, this is the New Living Translation that I'm using today. Think about the things of heaven and don't think about the things of earth. In other words, keep your mind on the kingdom of God. Keep your mind on the kingdom of God. So if you do this, if you begin to pray these prayers that Paul has spoken to the churches that he's writing to, use them in your prayer time and begin to pray these scriptures over your life. And I promise you, it will begin to change how you think. Don't be one of those people in that number, 284 million worldwide, that say they suffer with anxiety. Now, that doesn't even account for the people who aren't talking about it, who aren't letting anyone into their life and aren't reaching out for help. These are millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people that struggle with this, and that includes believers, by the way. Sometimes believers can be the worst people to struggle with those because the enemy doesn't want us to think about the things of heaven. He wants us to think about the temporal, the perishable things of this earth. Listen to his letter to the Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. "We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments." Think about that. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. Sometimes the worst reasoning is our human reasoning, because God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. And the things that we, the conclusions that we jump to in our human reasoning are based on our finite imaginations, not the infinite knowledge and power of our God. And even though things reason to be impossible and reason to be, they reason to be impossibilities in our lives, and that cannot happen, and we reason the power of God right out of situations, we reason that a miracle will not happen, our human reasoning sometimes gets in the way of our faith to believe what God is doing in our lives, and that human reasoning has to be knocked down by the power of God. That human reasoning and these false arguments that we allow to penetrate and infiltrate and sit in our minds and talk us right out of the blessings of God, right out of our miracle, right out of our answer to prayer, right out of what Scripture teaches us, we allow those things to block our faith. They stand between us and our faith in God. And Paul is warning us against this. He is so consistent with this theme of what is on our minds, and I believe that he gives us a summary in a one-sentence verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, of why we have to be careful what's on our minds. "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life." That's why. Paul says, this is why I'm wearing you out with this subject of what's on your mind and telling you to allow God to clean your mind, to direct your thoughts, that you resist thoughts of negativity, thoughts of lies. And how do you do that? You meditate and you contemplate and you study and you claim the word of the Lord, because it is the basis for truth. It is all truth. Truth is not relative. Truth is found in Scripture. And when you make Scripture a part of your daily life, you are conquering, you are coming against, you are challenging the negative and the false arguments that the adversary has placed in your mind, your human reasoning. You are coming against it with the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. and it is able to help you conquer this battle of the mind that you're facing. The subject of anxiety and depression and other intangible pain is at the very heart of what the Lord's been speaking to me recently. It touches me personally in my family. It touches you personally in your family. And I want to challenge you to begin to practice a religious intervention, if you will, on that person or persons in your life, in your family, that is struggling with anxiety and depression. Maybe it's you. Then look yourself in the mirror, get your Bible, and perform a religious intervention. And here's how you do that. You take these words, these scriptures that I've given you today, Paul's theme throughout his epistles to the churches about what's on your mind, and you pray those verses, and you seek the face of God, and you make it a matter of daily prayer and focus. And I promise you, listen to me, I promise you, it will change your life. I promise you it will, because God said it would. And He's a man, He's not a man that He should lie. He is God. Truth is the intellectual property of God. No one can change truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. What's on your mind? I want to challenge you to change what's on your mind with the Word of God. I hope you've been encouraged and empowered and equipped with this Word to make a difference in your life or someone else's. God bless you. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform or Jeff's YouTube channel. For more information about this ministry, visit us at jeffwolf.org. Just released is Jeff's newest book, 10 Reasons Why. You can get it free by texting the keyword RESTORED to 833-649-1545. Message and data rates may apply. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.